This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, so we're going to talk about football nomenclature here in the Cooley Den. This is a screams place to talk about football. It's like the one room in your house that doesn't. Oh, there's a Utah State flag over there.
So there you go.
As I say, this, other than that, it's the one room in your house with nothing football.
Oh, no, no, no. Nothing in my house outside of my basement has anything football.
There's like random trinkets around, though.
Random jackets that I've worn to work that are laying around.
It counts. They're Redskins jackets.
We have in our living room, like our main living room.
Yeah.
A space that is built in. It's like instead of a new entertainment center, it's not. It's like actually built in the wall goes to the ceiling because the entertainment centers are old now.
Yeah.
And I have a constant fight. I keep trying to put one of my old Redskins helmets in there to try to blend it in and hide it. My wife finds it in one day every single time, and the helmet goes out.
Nope.
She doesn't like the helmet, man. I don't know why not.
I don't know.
I just keep putting it in.
How many old helmets do you have?
4 or 5.
Just enough.
A couple of the years I kept them.
Yeah. Because they charge you guys for this.
My old college helmet, they don't really charge you for them. The helmet shell is like $75 or $125.
That's not
bucks.
Bad.
It's not like an expense that you can't afford.
Right, right.
They might be more than that now. I don't know. Maybe $200. It wouldn't be crazy, but I don't think I got charged for
I was
that.
Always surprised at how much the jerseys cost for guys.
They're not that much. $130. The Nike ones might be more.
I think they are now.
I bought my own Reebok jerseys.
A couple hundred now, which is...
$200.
It's your jersey with your name on it. Like, you play 16 games for a team. You should be able to keep the jersey.
Well, I bought my own jerseys.
Every year?
The last couple years. Because the team... So, I think I've told this story before.
Mm-hmm.
But I was one of the first ones that took my jersey every week before they started selling the jerseys. Before the team started selling, distributing the jerseys. And so, they asked me to sell... or give my jersey to them, and they'd come around the locker room really fast and clean them all up. So I'd hide them in my bag or put them away. And then I got asked multiple times to the point where they knew I was going to take the jersey. And I said, it's my jersey. Charge me for it if you want to charge me for it. And they started writing it into players' contracts as they signed after me. Your jerseys are property.
Wow.
And so instead of having the debate with the team or anyone in the organization, at the time, they were Reebok jerseys, and I had a Reebok contract, so I had Reebok produce 16 game jerseys, and I just brought my own jersey to the game. Took the jersey off, the one they put on my pads, said, you can have it, it's not going to be worn, and wore mine.
That's incredible. That's not where I thought.
It was $135 jersey from Reebok, because I bought them.
That's amazing. I'm sure you have told that story. I have not heard that story. So that's fun. Not what we're talking
about.
But
it wasn't in my contract. The jersey actually was mine. All they really had was the equipment charge that they could charge me. So.
Yeah.
But now there's a new stipulation in most contracts.
Yeah. And the jerseys are Nike, so they probably cost more because everything Nike costs more.
Yeah. They're nice jerseys.
Yeah, they are. All right. So what we're going to talk about is football nomenclature. As the story of the week is Mark Sanchez getting up to speed or not getting up to speed, varying degrees of speed. To which he is getting up. So what I basically want to do is take everything that happens before the snap, which is kind of crazy because football is played after the snap. But
that's what I think is the most important thing in football, or one of the most important things in football, is the pre-snap routine.
Yeah. Let's go broad. Why?
I think the pre-snap is where you can dictate anything you want to dictate on offense. The defense has to adjust to you more than anything else. You can make the defense make more decisions. You should never let them know when you're going to snap the ball. You can change the strength of your offense. You can shift. You can motion. You can go on 2. You can go on 3. You can go on anything you want to go on. And most people overlook it or don't practice it enough or don't want to install it because you get to your plays and you're installing your actual offense and you say, let's just go on 1. And a lot of times you don't want to deal with it as a coach because you go on two and guys go off sides and practice and go off sides in training camp and you just say forget it and you just start going on one and it just becomes a habit to go on one and you lose that real importance of what it means to change up the tempo of the game.
So you have that, you can dictate coverage, you're using personnel, using formations, using all that kind of stuff.
Well, defense shifts, they'll change coverage based on strength. And so
right.
A lot of little things that people are doing in the NFL right now is they'll go 3-by-1 with the back in the backfield to the one receiver side. And at the last second, he'll just hop over to the other side of the quarterback. And essentially, for the defense, that makes it a 4-by-1, which for linebacker drops and where underneath coverage is moving. Or sometimes, like in the instance of Josh Norman not getting a coverage check in New Orleans, mm-hmm. they're going from cover 3 to cover 2. Based on 4-by-1 or 3-by-2. And so little things like that change defenses.
Yeah, for sure. So I want to take everyone through all of that, from how you get the right people on the field to where they line up to what they're supposed to do to, okay, now we've broken the huddle, to the line of scrimmage, to the actual cadence itself. So in the nitty-gritty of the entire process, which I guess would start with the personnel grouping. Is that the...
So you label your personnel groupings and... It's interesting because most defensive teams call them by numbers. Mm-hmm. So, right, 11 personnel is one back, one tight end. And you go so on and so forth. Like 12 is one back and two tight ends, or one back and a tight end and a fullback, or however you want to do it. You could call it 13 if you wanted to call it 13 with three tight ends. You call it 22 with two. I mean, it doesn't matter what you want to do it or how you want to call it. I was always in offenses, four different offenses, that used words. Two tight ends was always tiger.
Makes sense.
Tiger? I don't know.
Well, two.
A running back and a tight end was always regular or base. 11 personnel, three receivers, a tight end was always zebra or gator. And it was just because you would call the slot receiver the zebra, or in another life, another offense, we called it the gator. Eagle was four wide receivers, no tight ends, one back. Heavy was always heavy. Goal line was always goal line. So we always used words to describe it. And then on the sideline, it would be hand signaled in for most of my career. And so tiger was like a tiger claw. And base was a fist, just base. And eagle was eagle. You'd fly in like an eagle. And you'd, mm-hmm. I mean, it was just, you'd signal
in zebra?
Those. Zebra, you put your hand. We put our hand across our chest like you're starting a Z, like a
okay,
straight
arm.
It doesn't matter what you. I mean, there's just a way of getting your personnel grouping in, and it starts with getting your personnel grouping in.
So for the Redskins, they have so many different formations where like Jordan Reed lines up as a slot receiver. That does not, I'm guessing, change the personnel grouping though. Like zebra is still zebra. It's about the actual people in the huddle.
No. So essentially, what they would do with him as a wide receiver is, let's just say, like they like him split out to the single side a lot. So you would call, I think they call it, if he's all the way out to the numbers, they would call it Hulk right slot. The Y will always go to the strength. And in one tight end group where Jordan's the one tight end, he'll become the Y. So you would call it Hulk right. He would go to the right slot, and that would put everybody else on the left.
Okay.
So if they didn't want him all the way out to the right, I think they call it stud right. So instead of Hulk, they call it stud right slot. So Hulk and stud are 3-by-1 with the tight end on the single side.
So I guess that gets into the next phase, which is, okay, so you have personnel group. They're saying zebra, zebra, zebra. You know, they go out there, it's Crowder and two other receivers and tight end in the back. Now you get into the formation. And that's typically in a West Coast play call. That's the first thing?
Yeah, that's always the first thing.
So give me a couple examples.
Unless there's a motion to the formation.
Okay.
So let's go with a really simple formation. You could call double right, mm-hmm. which would be a 2-by-2 formation. The Y would be on the right. The Z receiver, there's almost always an X and a Z, right?
Mm-hmm.
X, essentially, you got to have one guy on the ball on either side of the offensive line creating seven on the line. It doesn't always have to be the X, but X and Y, it doesn't really matter. It just have to be two. But let's just say let's start with double right. Y would be on the ball. Z would be off. On the other side, the slot would be off. The X would be on. Mm-hmm. That would be your basic double right. Now, you could call fly to double right, which would be the Y off the ball on the other side, moving in motion to the right. So that would be, motion would be before formation in that. situation, right?
Yep.
You call zebra fly to double right. And you would just tag that before you tagged the Y. But then there's a million other little things that you get into when you call double right that just is the formation. Like you could call double right clamp, which would put the Y off the ball. Clamp, I've used as clamp since I've played. Y is off the ball and the Z's tight. He comes in and he's tight.
So it's more of like a stack
formation.
You
could call double right ace, and both the receivers would come into ace splits just inside the numbers. Call whatever you wanted to call out of double, double right, you know, whatever you wanted to call. So, and then there are a bunch of variations of 2x2 formations. For a stack set receiver on the left away from a tight end and another receiver, we would always call north or south. South being because the Z would be, zebra would be outside of the X because he's outside more in the south because it's warmer in the south. North, he would be inside in a stack set because it's cold in the north, so he spent more time inside. Like stupid stuff like that is how we remembered it. I don't know why they called it that.
Yeah.
I mean, you could call it whatever you wanted to call it.
So, like, even in, like, let's say now we're going 3x1, you have a bunch formation, right? That classic, like,
3x1, you could call bunch, you could call cluster, you could call it. It depends on whatever way you want to put the point of the bunch, you would call it in that fashion.
So, give me an example.
So, if you wanted a bunch away from the Y, three receiver stack away from the Y side, you would call cluster right, and the Y would go to the right, and they'd have a three receiver set with the X at the point of the set. You would have bunch. If you wanted the Y off the ball, the zebra on the ball, and the Z off the ball. So, I mean, you could tag any word. You could call it freaking weasel right if you wanted to call weasel right or whatever. Call it wolf right or pack right or any name you wanted to change, you could change it to whatever you wanted to change it to put a different guy on or off the ball.
And then you just name it something else.
You could call bunch right switch if you really wanted to and not get crazy with a bunch of different words.
Mm-hmm.
Or bunch right Y. And Y would know he's the point of the bunch if you call bunch right Y.
Gotcha.
Just however you want to do it.
How much free, like, what do you think when you're a coach and you're thinking about naming something like that? Are you trying to be simple? Are you trying to give hints to your guys? Like, what, how did this nomenclature kind of evolve from, I guess, really, I mean, most of this stuff started with Bill Walsh to where it is now?
I don't like West Coast terminology the more I think about it. I think it's way too wordy. And I think it was initially a lot with Bill Walsh, but like double right wasn't Bill Walsh. I mean, right and left and pro right and whatever you wanted to call was whenever football began. I think that players can remember certain keywords to do certain things. Now, you have to tag a formation, certainly, but I think there are certain keywords that you could remember that wouldn't make it as wordy. You know, I think that there's so much going on formationally where you want to do south, right, far, Dixie. You have all these little keywords, your formation, that you move the back in another spot, you move the Y in another spot, you move all the, I think there's, it gets very wordy, the West Coast.
So one of the ones that I have that I pulled from Gruden, John Gruden, not Jay Gruden, this is, I think, from a clip from back in Tampa, Y Trey to green right, fake 62, halfback flip left.
Sure.
That makes sense to you?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Okay, so let's break that down. Y Trey to green right is going to be a motion.
So green right would be basically a two-back set, I would assume, with ending with the Y on the right. So Y trade is instead of, I said fly. So Y is going to start on the left and trade to green right. I'm thinking you've got two-back set and two wide receivers on either side. Okay. I never used green right.
So Y trade to green right, fake 62, halfback flip left.
Yeah, so it is got to be a two-back set. And so you're going to fake the dive to your initial back, and then you're going to, the halfback behind it's going to go to that sweep left. So it's like that third down play where you go inside fake and then boom, flip outside.
And that's basically how all these plays are built. It's just, it's formation. What's the next piece of information? Is it the actual play? Because like in pass plays too, you have to get protections in there. It's like, what's a pass play example that has a protection? So a good formation, protection, route concepts?
So I pulled up, so I didn't use J's, right? Because I have a million of J's and I don't want to use J's. So I just got out an old notebook of like Shanahan. So if you wanted a simple one, you could call solo right Two Jet Dancer. Well, you would actually, if it's solo right, you would have to move somebody. You would say solo right, X right. Two Jet Dancer, H Burst. Two Jet would be the protection.
Okay.
Jet is almost always a six-man protection, which means the back's responsible for protection. And then you called H Burst, so after his protection, you tagged him on a burst drop. You could call solo right, X right. Two Jet. Actually be three Jet if we were doing it in that fashion, but it for, I mean, for all intents and purposes, you call halfback option, you call halfback snag, you call.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
What a halfback wide if you wanted to.
And Dancer was the rock combination?
Yeah, that's Dancer was always four verticals.
Okay. And so, and you talked about some plays on your podcast where it's like, for instance, the last game, Dragon Lion. So
sure.
Like, you know, you have a dragon concept, which is very common, a lion concept, very common West Coast things. One's on one side, one's on the other. Are those typically combined into one word, or is it, you know, dragon left, lion right? Like, how does that work?
Normally called, if it were double right, dragon lines out of a 2x2. You could go with a back out of the backfield and make it 3x2 and run the back in the flat, but you would call dragon to one side by using Y dragon and lion to the other side by saying X dragon. So it'd be double right, Y dragon, X lion.
Gotcha.
Halfback, whatever. I don't like tagging the halfback. I think the halfback should have to remember all those little checkdowns, some of those route combinations. But in saying that, it's funny because I think about some of the simple concepts. And a lot of colleges don't do this anymore, right? Like a lot of colleges, they're dragon lion. Will always be dragged to the tight end side, will always be two slants to the receiver side, and they'll call it like double right Hoffman. And that's that play the rest of the year.
Mm-hmm. You just pick a name.
Not X dragon, Y line. It's just double right Willie. Whatever you want to call it. You know, you could call it double right dragon if you really wanted to call it, keep it in that fashion. But dragon is because drag is a flat, like a flat's a drag route, so it's called dragon.
Right.
Lion, I don't even know where Lion came from.
The names are probably my favorite thing. That is I've learned stuff from you and talked to other players, active or retired. And Peyton Manning's done a lot of this on his ESPN Plus show. Learning where the names come from is probably my favorite thing. We were talking earlier, Manning had one on this show this week, Burger, because the receiver goes in then out. So yeah. In and out is Burger. What was your favorite named route concept or anything that had like a fun story behind it? Besides the jerk route that then takes off.
Well, that's my favorite route.
Okay, second favorite.
My favorite route concept of all time. I mean, we tagged, if it was like a hitch and go, you know, you call it thunder takeoff, right? I don't know why we called them thunders. And we didn't just call them hitches. But
yeah.
Hitch takeoff. Or Omaha takeoff, and we had a jerk route. And so instead of calling it jerk takeoff, we called it jerk off. You could call it thunder off if you wanted to. I mean, that would be an easy way of doing that, but I don't know. I mean,
I know that was your
favorite,
I
didn't really care that much.
Did you ever get to name anything?
Hardly. No, there was a year with Gibbs where if we had individual calls, we named all our individual calls. So Todd Yoder and I would name them all small furry mammals. And so we had like weasel and badger and beaver and skunk and rat and all these little stupid calls. And then I think that's fun, man.
Yeah.
I mean, if it wasn't in that situation, no one was ever going to actually pick up on furry mammals, but Todd Yoder's a Vanderbilt guy and he's incredibly smart. And so we get to the line of scrimmage and we'd start giving random calls. It's like horse, horse, horse. Horse isn't a small furry mammal, so horse was a decoy call.
Right.
Man. We had all these, our offensive linemen were like, stop doing that. You're messing with us. We're like, what does horse mean to you? What does weasel mean to you? Nothing.
That's great. There was two that Jay referenced in his press conference this week in terms of like single words that mean I mean, you can tell me what they mean. I think I'm pretty sure on one of them. But he mentioned them specifically when he was talking about Josh Donaldson. And he said, when I say dusty or when I say quick seam, he knows what they mean.
Yeah.
So what's dusty?
So dusty is a 3-by-1 grouping. The inside receiver is going to run a corner route or a 7 route, whatever you want to call it. He's essentially picking for the next inside receiver. Now, depending on how you're running dusty, the inside receiver could run a 12 to 15 yard dig behind this. The next receiver is going to come right off of him, and he's going to use it as a pick, as a 5 yard in route, or as Peyton Manning likes to call it, a shin route, short in. Mm-hmm. And then the outside receiver is going to run a delayed under, which is a shin route, sell a 5 yards, take 2 more steps vertical, and then go in. And that's to create spacing behind it, and that's 72 dusty.
And that's so, where where dusty comes from, double or delayed under.
Delayed
right?
under, or yeah, double under, whatever you want to, yeah, it's yeah. a D.
Gotcha.
Double under. Yeah, I don't know.
And that's the play that DJ Swearinger picked Eli off on in the first game,
yeah.
right?
In the first Giants game, correct.
And by the way, I know there's like 72, 73 dusty. What's the difference?
Protection.
Okay.
Protection is all. 72 is just protection.
So what does the numbers actually mean?
Well, if you have 7, for me, it usually means 7-step drop. It doesn't always have to mean that. It could mean 7-man protection as well. But 2 is the direction your line sliding or the back's going. Depends on what coach is calling what.
Gotcha.
So, and then quick seam is theoretically created by Ernie Zampezi. Defenses, when they expect to see quick seam, will yell Zampezi, Zampezi, Zampezi. It's one of the most common third down red zone concepts. So is dusty. And so initially it's out of a 3-by-1 as well. And the first initial player is going to run a shallow crossing route. His goal is to collect the first backer inside of him. He's called the collector. So in his shallow cross, he tacks the outside leverage, outside shoulder leverage of the first backer inside. He wants him to run with him. You're really not getting the ball. I mean, you could. And then the next receiver outside of him is running the quick seam. So he wants to make it look like he's going vertical. So he's selling just outside leverage, like he's going towards the numbers. He's going to go vert up the numbers, 4 or 5 steps, break in on a quick seam, quick post. And then outside, normally outside a quick seam, you run 2 comebacks. Those are your last looks. Quarterbacks would read that out, shallow cross to quick seam. Great quarterbacks throw the shallow cross when it's open. When you see quick seam thrown on, or the shallow cross is thrown on quick seam, it's because they actually trust they're reading the right thing. Like, yeah. I was open so many times on the shallow, and they're like, gotta work that quick seam because it's called quick seam.
They should have called it shallow cross quick seam.
Yeah.
What could we name shallow cross quick seam? I feel like that's too many words that don't really fit together.
Zampezi.
You just call it Zampezi. There you go.
It's a Bill Walsh concept as well. I coached flag football this year, and I called it Bill Walsh, and my players had no problem comprehending. If I said, let's go Bill Walsh, they lined up and did Bill Walsh. I didn't even have to call a formation. Now, you'd want to run it out of a bunch of different formations and looks because
right.
People start to see what you're doing. Like, for example, 72 Dusty was one of Jim Zorn's favorite plays in 3rd and 5. And there would be times where I was running the corner and the cover 2 safety, the deep half player, was jumping the underneath in route. Like, I'm screaming open. Mm-hmm. But we're giving the same look, 3-by-1, not getting any motion or giving any difference to the formation. And it just screams dusty in the situation that we were in. And people would just jump it. They knew we weren't going to deviate. They knew we didn't tendency break it. So people just jumped it.
So if you're lining up 3-by-1, like, how would that play call sound in the huddle? And then what's a variation where you're still getting, like, you'll hear dusty in there, but now all of a sudden the formation's changed, or how you get to it changes.
Trips right 72 dusty would be your initial call that you would get to it. You could call double right, zebra right, 72 dusty, double right, the zebra would start on the left. You could call south right, zebra right, 72 dusty. You could call north right, zebra right, 72 dusty exchange if you wanted to, where the zebra could run the corner and the tight end could arc out. You could call south right clamp. That'd make it easier for him to do that. Mm. You could call solar right, ace, tiger right. You could anything that you want to get to 3-by-1, you could get to 3-by-1 in. You could call cluster right. That would be a bunch set away from the tight end. Run 72 dusty out of 3-by-1. You would probably go ahead and go cluster right, zebra left outside, 73 dusty. But there's a million different formational ways you can do it. And the reason you ultimately get to new formations is is because defenses will show you certain looks down and distance to the formation that you're giving them. So depending on the look that you want to get, like quarters would be a perfect look for Dusty or for quick seam, because you have three underneath defenders instead of four, that creates more leverage. So if you knew you could entice them to give you quarters by giving a bunch set, you'd go bunch.
Gotcha. So now we've broken the huddle and now you get to the line. This is the fun part, because now you've, you know, it's one thing to get the play.
Oh,
in your
by the way, let's not break the huddle really fast.
Okay.
I found
everybody.
You a great one.
Like, okay.
When they say Mark Sanchez struggles with some of the plays, or when they say a new quarterback struggles with some of the plays, you wristband the top 20 plays. Normally, most quarterbacks in the league, the most verbiage, they'll wristband them. Large in part because it takes forever for the coach to read it into the quarterback's helmet anyways, instead of saying, hey, let's go number two, and then the quarterback just reads number two. Like, the coach doesn't want to say it and then have the quarterback have to repeat it. That was why it was
right.
Amazing when McNabb didn't want a wristband. It wasn't necessarily just for McNabb. It wasn't just the quarterbacks. It's so the coach doesn't have to
say
it.
Which I know for a fact, Jay said that he did that, or they did that with Sanchez. And it's like, hey, was it hard to get him to play? No, I said wristband five.
Right.
That's how it worked
right.
Last week. So what? How does that with your play sheet in front of you?
All right, so let's just say, let's go weak left, fake 19, keep right, fullback bend, X. I don't even know what we tagged GP that week. Glance post Z-lock. XGP Z-lock. Whatever. This is 2011. I don't even remember what we tagged GP. But you start to get where you're tagging, like a lot of times when they're not your common formation, and red zone this is common, you start to get where you're calling three or four different individual routes, which is absolutely crazy to me. It's like, why would you call three? Like, we're going to call fullback bend, XGP, Z-lock. All three players in that route got tagged.
So
the Y and the
not
H,
really a play.
The Y and the H are blocking.
So it's not really a play per se. It's not a concept you ever drew up. It's like, all right, hey, if this is like backyard football, all right, Jimmy, you're going to run a post.
No, seriously. Like, I have the first 16 from that game. We were playing the St. Louis Rams. No one would have struggled if you'd call it Rams on two. And Rams on two, we're going to line up and I right and. You call it Rams right or Rams left if you wanted to run it the other way. And you go, you know, weak right or weak left. And then you just run that play. But we tagged it all, man. We tagged it all out. And everyone does this. Everyone in the league does this. So there's just so many long ones, you know. North right clamp, pass 19-1 to Tiger Bend, X burner. I mean, that's not a hard one to spit out, right?
Sure.
All right, nasty, Z short, fake 19-4, Z sift, keep right, X corner post. I might have mixed up the way we tagged that or called that, but, you know, I didn't think about it that much, so.
Yeah.
No, I mean, in the ways you can call it, it's always, like, left or right, which would change 19 or 18, which would change keep right or keep
left. Is there a odd is one way, evens the other in pretty much every offense?
Is there an odd and even is one?
Like, so, like, 72, 73, 18, 19. I know,
usually
like,
twos
Wanda
to the
always,
twos
we'll
line slide or move to the right, threes left. Anything that gets called with an R in the word, like protection-wise, if there's any kind of R in it, your line sliding to the right. Now, it might mean you're bringing three to the right. It might mean you're bringing four or all to the right. The only time you'd really bring all to one side is when you'd leave the tight end in the back alone on the other side. But any time you ever hear a quarterback use the words R or L in a word, use the letters, they're not a word, R or L in a word, that's a line slide one way or another. For the most part. So if you heard hurry, probably just slid his line to the right. If you heard Ricky or Lucky, probably slid his line right or left. If you heard anything of that fashion.
Laser's a real popular one.
Yeah, laser. Laser's probably a decoy call.
Interesting.
Right? Like you can have decoy calls for line slides, which I actually think is super smart. So let's just say you had a six-man protection and they showed you a blitz that you understood you didn't need to slide your line through. So you're just going to say Mike is whoever. That's where you always see quarterback calling Mike. And quarterback can fake call Mike if he wants to fake call it to anything. But get up and go, laser. You also, that could be a dummy call. You also, a lot of times, in cadence, now I guess we're out of the huddle.
Yeah.
In cadence, if you're really smart and you get defenses that really want to mess with you pre-snap, can double cadence. And you can have keywords that actually start the cadence, much like a baseball game has a third base coach who's going to give three or four signals, and then he's going to give an indicator. You could, if you wanted to defenses adjusting, have an indicator word. So Peyton Manning could get up to the line of scrimmage, and until he says burger, nothing matters. So he could get up there and say, red 58, Omaha, Omaha. Tommy, Tommy, check, check, 93, 93. Give you code word, and then make a real call. You know, burger, burger, burger. All right, Mike 16. Let's go. There's no Mike 16.
Yeah,
right?
So it's weird that, one of the wide receivers on the sideline
all of
is the
that crap,
Mike linebacker.
And he could have an indicator word for the game that, you know, now it starts our cadence.
Yeah, and he actually talks about on his show a lot, even nonverbal stuff, like on a run play where you're probably good set, you know, everything's good at the line, start pointing at your receivers and be like, hey, you know, let's pretend like you're doing a hot route, basically, if you're thinking in Madden terms, to try to tip the defense off and to something that is non-existent.
I think the quarterback so a lot of times in run plays, the center will call the Mike linebacker. In passing plays, for the most part, the quarterback's going to call Mike. Mm-hmm. So I would want my quarterback to call Mike in run plays and know if I could understand that's my quarterback's voice, just scream Mike some random number. That does.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
Doesn't count. Because if I was a D lineman, the center came up and said, Mike 56, that's a run play, bro.
Yeah.
I mean, if the quarterback comes up and says, out of nowhere, no one else says anything, let's mic it to 59 right there. Most times you're getting a pass play, but you can get some dummy stuff in those situations.
Could you have your quarterback and your center both yelling different numbers at the same time?
I mean, it'd probably be a little bit complex. I could. And that's where you got to, like, know your team and limit yourself.
Right.
But you can dummy it out as well. You know, a big popular thing in football is a dummy cadence.
How often did you get to the line and forget what play was called? Because there might have been two plays called or, you know, you're moving quick or whatever.
That wasn't necessarily a problem for me. My biggest problem as a player was thinking I knew what we were doing because we were making checks in certain plays and not doing the same thing the rest of the offense did. So, for example, if we lined up in two tight ends on either side and we said, okay, we're going to go with a run to the right. And if they give us, and we'll say, we always said we could Oscar it or you could kill it or whatever you want to do. We called it Oscar. And I think Jay still calls it Oscar, where the quarterback will stand up and touch both sides of his helmet. Almost exclusively, that's flipping the run play. But you can fool them by calling a boot in those situations. So we'd say, hey, look, if the D tackle's in a three technique on the right, we'll flip it. We want to run this to the one technique D lineman. And so I'd get up there and I'd look and I'd think I'd see something. Maybe they'd shift or something. We Oscar. I'm not even listening. I just watch the guy. I'm watching the guy in front of me. All of a sudden I'm going right. The left line's going left. You're like, so forgetting the play, not necessarily the case.
You would not always listen. You would try to make the check yourself.
Or there were times where I would hear, like, I would hear certain words in the huddle to a play and think, I know the rest of what he's saying, and the rest would go over my head because I think I got it, and then he didn't actually call that play.
Mm. I always wonder when guys leave the huddle early, like, how much are they missing?
Usually nothing.
All right, so you just kind of got to the next step here. So you break the huddle, you get to the line. Now the quarterback, and this is where I think it's the hardest part for probably Sanchez or anybody else coming in his situation to learn is, and this stuff changes week to week, the checks at the line, every single run play, every single pass play, there are rules to them. And before you, again, this is all before the snap as we go on 30 minutes of talking pre-snap football.
yeah, this goes fast for me. I'm a dope.
No, this is good stuff. There were people that will thoroughly enjoy nerding out to this, like five of them. But now, like, what are some of the things? Let's go run game first. As a quarterback, you get to the line, you've called, and let's go Wanda. They're weak side zone run play, which is one of probably is the single most popular run play in the NFL. What are you looking at as a quarterback?
Well, if you just have Wanda called, you're not looking at anything.
Okay. Well, that makes it easy.
That would make it a lot easier. Like, yeah. You might have to shift or motion. There's always something that you could potentially have in your playbook where you could change it, mm-hmm. right? But, you know, for the most part, you would call Wanda can support or Wanda can 18 or like 15 can 18, 15 being Wanda, 18 being outside zone the other way. Like 5 would be to the left. That'd be your weak side play. 8 would be your right. That'd be your strong side play. And so essentially you'd be looking for safety rotation. If your safety came down in the box into your weak side zone run, that means you have an extra player that you have to account for on the front side. You can't account for it, so you'd change your run, go the other way. You could have pass checks off of Wanda if you really wanted to. It's not that common. I actually would love to have, if I was running an offense, I would love to have pass checks off of those, some of those things. You got to make sure especially your receivers are getting those pass checks for sure. But, you know, I think it'd be great.
Coaches so you could always do, want to dial let up. Let me see action. if I can play call here. So you could do like 17 Wanda X slant.
Well, that you certainly could, and that is actually the original form of RPO,
okay.
Which is not, you know, you could just have 17 Wanda X slant.
Or can.
Yeah, and the X would just run a slant. You would, 3 steps a little hard off a run play sometimes, but yeah, you would just, you wouldn't fake to the back is all. That's the original RPO stuff. Like I was watching 2011 film. We're running bubbles to Santana Moss off zone, and it's just based on leverage.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, you could do that, but you could call like 17 Wanda can fake 17 Wanda keep right. And if you had the keep right look you wanted, then you could go with the keeper. And the times I would really like to do this is when Shanahan had stuff, when we had takeoff moves off of our keepers or, you know, double moves or not just your normal bootlegs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, then you could really, hey, look, if we'd get this one look, let's just throw the can in there and we'll can it off of Wanda.
You got a big play down the field.
Yeah. If safety comes down to the front side, let's just boot away from the safety. So you can check those off of that.
Pass plays. You get to the line of scrimmage. You're a quarterback.
For the most part, just protection. Yeah, for the most part, just has protection checks. So you would say, like, 2-jet, whatever pass play you want to call, you know, sort out the entire pass play that you want to call. And at the end of the pass play, you would say, like, can your 7-man protection. So can 359. And quarterback gets the line of scrimmage and he starts seeing him touch his head. Can. All he's doing is changing the protection, which ultimately means the tight end's now not going to be out in the route. Back's going to help him out, make sure he's there. So you're losing 20% of your eligibles. So you better be right. You get the blitz right. But if you can't pick it up, you're in trouble.
Yeah. And then you get to actually say set hut or go or whatever.
Yeah.
What's so hard about a good quarterback cadence?
A good quarterback cadence, in my opinion, good offense, doesn't give you an indication to when they're going to say set go. And so there's key words to cadence. Let's see.
I know Kirk always, it was our, wide 80.
Yeah, so our
Peyton Manning's Omaha.
Our go call, like our go was always wide 80, wide 80. If we were going to go on 2, like he would usually go blue 80, blue 80, sit hut, hut. If you were going to go on the dummy cadence, the dummy is used a lot in the NFL. It means that you're going to go through an entire cadence. We use the black. Black 80, say hut, 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 hut. Look around. Hut. Easy, easy, easy. Red 80, go. Or white 80, go. That was your dummy cadence. So you had that. On the road, you have a center cadence. Essentially, you don't have a cadence a lot of times. You call the mic, you call the checks, and you have a center head bob. So on the road, the center, you can go on a one head bob or two head bob.
Which is really going to be easy to demonstrate on the radio.
Yeah, well, the center's got his head down. He looks down and lifts his head up. When he lifts up on one head bob, goes.
Yep.
When it goes down and up twice. And the reason you go down and up twice is because people get off the ball when you go down and up once a bunch of times. So there's a variety of things that a quarterback can do. You can go on first sound or on the go. So you can walk up to the line of scrimmage and when he says go, you go. I mean, a lot of different ways you could do it.
Yeah. You see,
there's also like you usually try to tell yourself as a team. So if we're on one, you didn't really have to say much, but we said Monday. If we were on two, if you hear this, you'll hear this across the league.
Yeah.
If you're listening to Games Pre-Snap. If you hear like Tuesday, it means they're going on two. If you hear Wednesday, it's usually a dummy cadence. I mean, that's essentially the way we did it, is you'd give little keywords to remind everyone, don't go off sides here. This is going to go on Tuesday.
Yeah. How do defenses not pick up on that?
They're dumb. They don't care. They don't want to study enough. They don't want to watch. No one, when you watch tape, you don't hear cadence. You actually have to watch live game stuff. I don't think I had live game stuff streamed into my film when I was playing. They do now. I can watch a game plays live now and pick up cadence. Coaches were always responsible for going back and looking at the quarterback's cadence. I didn't play defense, so I don't know how much cadence played a role, but I've talked to a lot of defensive players, and I don't think they care that much. Smart ones knew. My goal was to always get an advantage, so I never wanted someone to know. And my first couple years playing against Michael Strahan, he was one of the guys that absolutely knew. So if we came, if you had double right, Y left, 19 outside or 19 support, I'd go over there, wide 80, and as I set my feet, go. Strahan, the second you set your feet, is going, because he knows that you're timing it up. So I would always beg to go on two with motion. We would jump off sides a lot, so that would be a problem. No one ever wanted to go on two on motion. So I would always have to tell the quarterback, don't worry about me. I will get there. But if I get there, and you say go and I set my feet, he'll bully me, man. I can't let him know. So I'd sometimes motion wider and then settle back in. You can keep moving in motion one way or another. I mean, a lot of times when I did motion, especially to run plays, I would motion further down the line of scrimmage outside of the tackle as far as I could go, and I'd just watch. If they're going to keep going with me, I'll just keep going. Just keep going until they stop, and then you kind of settle back. But I got off on a tangent there. There's defensive players do adjust to motions. They do adjust to certain looks. There are certain tells that people have. I've always heard that not a player in particular, but the right tackle will start to squeeze his right arm up before the ball snaps. So as soon as his right arm starts to come up, they're going to snap the ball. Little things like that people look for. I think that's hard to find, though. I just listen to quarterback cadence. Quarterback cadence will usually tell you everything.
So when you hear a quarterback is struggling with cadence, what does that sound like, and how do you fix it?
I don't see how you just go on the go.
I mean, I don't know. They had multiple false starts in practice this week, and they said that there's been problem with cadence. Is it not being able to hear clearly?
Here's the difference with quarterbacks for me at times. You'd get a guy that would go, wide 80, wide 80 go, and he'd roll his go into his second wide 80. And then the next quarterback would come in and go, wide 80, go. And it's that little delay. I don't think Mark Sanchez or quarterback really struggles that hard with saying color number.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't.
It's clearly different than maybe what Colt did or what Alex did.
Guys will roll it into certain things. Some quarterbacks say sego. Some don't say sego. No one says hut. Hut. Where did hut come from?
I don't know. Maybe Mark Sanchez is the one that says hut, and that's what's throwing everyone off.
Stop saying hut, man.
Just say go, man.
Seriously.
All right. That's 40.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if I got anything more for you.
I don't know. Is there anything? They always touch this in journalism school. Make sure before you go. Is there anything else that the audience should know?
Is there anything else you want to tell me? No, you came here to ask me questions.
Yeah. All right. Well, then we're done asking questions. Cool. Thanks.
Yep.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.